After 26 days, CBS's extremely successful answer to the Winter Olympics has crowned its first celebrity winner. And we've got an exclusive from Julie Chen herself. Plus, American Ninja Warrior's Matt Eisman is back on our panel with his take on this season. Welcome to the Celebrity Big Brother After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm talking pedicure on our toes, trying on all our clothes.
This is what I wanted to tell you. This song came out when I was in college, so Morgan, you're probably like in grade school.
No, this came out like, we played this in my middle school dance.
See,
brushing with Jack in middle school?
I was a senior in college. I found myself to this song. Driving home from high school.
I hope you didn't find yourself in the biblical sense.
Maybe the biblical sense. God-fearing man. I was like, I want to brush my teeth with Jack. I knew that's
Don't
who I
we
was.
All,
well,
right?
I know. I mean, and that's a great transition to segue into this. Hey, guys, I'm Bryce McClay. Welcome to the season finale of the Celebrity Big Brother After Show. We're pretty sad about it. But you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Advice. Sitting next to me is my very great partner in crime, Morgan Millett.
What an intro. Bryce is very sad that he doesn't know
really
he no longer gets to see me every week. Aren't
that's
you?
Really sad. Yes, very.
Okay, that's okay. We'll work on his convinces. Well, I'm your host, Morgan Willett. You can find me on Twitter at Morgan_Willett. Or Instagram if you want to get crazy at Morgan Lee Willett.
I love when you say Morgan_Willett. It sounds like you should just make it underscored, like Morgan_Willett, not an actual underscore. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here.
That'd be a fan joke. Everyone would love that. Morgan_.
We'd also like to give a warm welcome to our guest host this evening, Charles Connolly.
Hello.
Where can everybody find you?
Everybody can find me everywhere, but mostly on social media. You can follow me at Charles Connolly. If you want to follow me, you can follow me. So that's where I'm. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. And I'm sitting next
Facebook.
To... I know, I'm on Facebook like 2013, but I'm still there.
Yeah.
All right, well, we are so incredibly excited about our special guest tonight. He is fresh off a stint as a special correspondent for the 2018 Winter Olympics, the host of American Ninja Warrior and Big Brother Superfan. Please welcome Matt Eisman!
Wow, you need to take a breath.
I don't.
That was good.
That was impressive.
I took a lot of Adderall before this.
So. Breathing is out. Yeah. Breathing is 2017.
Right.
That's what Omarosa says, too.
Lady
Okay, well, I've got to start with Matt because it's Celebrity Big Brother and the Winter Olympics.
Wait, you got to ask where you can find me.
Oh, shoot.
Right. They know where
you can find me on AfterBuzz TV.
Everybody knows where they can find you.
No, I was going to say they can find me in the audience of the finale. Wearing my vest.
I think we do have a picture of that, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm
we
so
have a picture
excited.
Of you were sitting next to Omarosa's family.
Yeah. And I will tell you, that will change your cheering habits when their family's next to you. Who are you going for in the crowd? Omarosa? There are three people clapping, and I'm like,
it's like a golf clap. And you're wearing your vest.
I'm wearing the vest. So that I for those who don't know, I trolled people because I was initially it was speculated that I was going to be on the season, and I'm a super fan, and I happened to be at the episode where Julie announced it was coming out, and the Hollywood Reporter had already interviewed me, unbeknownst to me, about the celebrity version. So they started all the speculation. I'm like, okay,
Okay, well, were you approached?
I was, and I couldn't do it for two reasons. One, we were supposed to have some ninja stuff, and then the Olympics, and then two, because I'm terrified of going in the house.
Really.
Matt, you would
watching
crush it.
No, I would snap on the first day and be like, I hate all of you people.
Oh, okay.
And so say something that would get me fired. I love the show.
Uh-huh.
And part of the reason I love the show is because I see people in situations I would hate to be in.
Right.
Like, you know, Brandy and James going at each other.
God,
James,
I
thought, handled himself so well for, you know, a guy who I thought would be kind of a young
Team
D-bag.
Maslow.
Right?
No.
But definitely, I'll say last night I saw him, I'm like, that is a goddamn handsome man. That James Maslow.
Like, looks aside, I liked him.
Though. I didn't like him.
Okay, fine. I love to hate him. That's what I had said the whole season.
You hated James?
I love.
No, she wasn't rooting for him.
I was rooting for him, but like he was annoying at some points, but I loved
but I ended
him
up
being annoying.
Him.
Yeah.
Honestly, he was someone who I thought. Like, to me, the biggest winner, without spoiling the finale, the biggest winner was Brandi Glanville.
Really?
Because as I watch it, because you're going on this show, this is a show, when you go on a celebrity version of a show, it's not about the money, it's not about your, you know, the charity was great for me, but for a lot of people, it's the opportunity to resurrect your career, right?
Yeah.
And Brandi is someone who proved, if you have a reality show and you want drama, yeah, you give her a bottle of two-buck chuck and there's gold.
Yeah.
So I watched it. I'm like, someone's going to put Brandi on a show. I thought that she was the biggest winner in terms of any celeb changing their image or reinforcing it.
I think that's what she did, was like reinforcing
her
image.
She got it.
She did. She understands.
But was so well. She was my favorite of the whole entire season.
Really? Yeah.
I adored her.
Right.
I think I liked her for the same reason you liked James. Like, James and Brandi were the same amounts unbearable, but I loved her. Yeah. I loved to
Morgan
hate
aspires
Brandi.
To be Brandi, I think.
No, I literally, she is goals. I'm. Like, if I ever go back in the Big Brother house, probably won't, but I'm putting in my contract that I want a bottle of wine like Brandi got and every
right.
hour.
Well, that's not going to happen.
And those gold things, those gold under eye right? things that she always said, I'm going to question everything I want to question with the gold things under
but
her
But I
eyes.
Loved it.
I loved it. I enjoyed every moment.
Omarosa was such the bully. It was amazing.
Oh, she's such a good villain.
No, tell me who you're with.
Oh, okay, I'll tell you who I'm with.
No, it's Big Brother!
Don't!
Shut up!
I know. And
well,
like,
that was such a big concern. I mean, like, especially this season, then we can get into this more. But, I mean, that was, you know, what were they playing? Were they playing Big Brother, or were they playing something else?
Yeah.
Were they playing in the playground? I don't know.
Well, it's funny. I read in Ross's interview and Marissa's interview, both of them said Ross was playing Big Brother, yeah, and Marissa was playing Celebrity Big Brother.
They said that on the talk, too.
So right. What do you guys think? What is the big difference? I mean, I would think that everyone would be playing the classic game of Big Brother. Now, all of a sudden, people are like, well, no, they were playing Celebrity Big Brother.
I don't think there's really much of a difference, but, like, I definitely think Marissa viewed this, like, people talk about, like, the perfect Big Brother game, and it's, like, making alliances and winning competitions, but I really think the perfect Big Brother game is the game that Marissa played. It's, like, staying kind of on the radar, attaching yourself to, like, one solid alliance, and being just relevant enough to, like, carry you to the end, and you don't get any blood on your hands. Like, everybody, the spotlight is on the person who wins all the competitions.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think the perfect Big Brother game, there is no one. I think that's what's the beauty of it, is it totally depends on the other people.
Uh-huh.
And yes, that's what I love about the show. And honestly, I thought, I guess when I do get that difference of Ross was playing the game in a traditional sense but part of what he did forget, which is, you know, it was the classic, I thought it was a Derek Cody situation at the end.
Oh,
turns
sure.
out I thought it was a Paul Josh. And it's this thing of the other thing that people don't understand that I think you're the only one who can really get and
relate,
as
yeah.
a live feeder I get a little bit, but what we see on TV is 99 is only 1% of what's
what
going
happens.
On. And so, you know, the editors showed Ross playing a phenomenal game and Marissa looking, I mean, like the sound effects when she fell on the ski thing.
Oh,
doink!
Yeah.
Bomb!
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, I was, oh, yeah.
I mean, like, making all those noises
it was all the,
and
yeah, the weird jokes and, like, you know, that she's not an athlete. But I think Ross, I thought, played the game. But Marissa may have been... I didn't know people felt as betrayed as they did by Ross. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did a good job of mitigating it, but apparently, you know. Well, I would think the difference, though, is if you're playing Celebrity Big Brother, Marissa gets, my goal is not the show. My goal is my career.
Well, here's the thing that was interesting. Somebody brought this up to me, which I thought was a very interesting point, is the fact that these people were, there was no jury. This was not a jury situation. I think that really affected the game. Whereas Ross was playing the celebrity, the Big Brother that, like, okay, so when the people go to the jury house, they get to sit in there, they get a toil, they are actually forced to sit down and discuss who they think should win.
Right.
These people never had that. They were all separated.
Well, I think they were all tainted by social media.
Completely.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that if Marissa, if they watched the show like they all did, Marissa obviously would be playing like the better, nicer, you know, like they, Ross was playing the more devious game.
And it even went all the way up till the end where they were making their final speeches. Ross was like laying out like point by point why he thinks he deserves to win. Yeah. And Marissa was like,
I don't even know. I don't know.
Okay, I just want you to, I wrote this down because I thought it was hysterical. She said that her, where is this? No, I can't even find it in my notes. But she said something like, she goes, I think Ross and I both played a great game and I made some really great friends. And I was like,
well, that is
this is not the friendship game.
I thought that was brilliant because like these people are obviously going to vote more emotionally.
Like it's normally, I guess it depends on the jury. I feel like normally people respect who played the best game. Right. But in the recent seasons, we've seen it's been very emotional. Right. But I would think because there were so many super fans, I was like, oh, they get the show. They know. Right. Like, Shannon, of course, is going to vote with the strategy.
But she didn't, though, right? She went with Marissa.
Yeah, she did it.
And which shocked me again. Yeah, to me, when everyone's like, Shannon, you're one of the greatest to play the game.
No, she spelled responsibilities.
You went out third. It's one of those things of you played, like, you actually played a horror. You won the first HOH. You won the POV. You did everything wrong. You put an enormous target on your back.
Tactics.
Whereas this thing of calling her the greatest player, though, it's like, it's like competitions are only part of it. Yeah. Having that social game, having that long game, and I thought Ross did a great job of winning when he had to and building alliances and I think maybe he just did mishandle because again I don't think it was calculated by Marissa. I don't think Marissa thought she was going to win. I thought she really felt I have to bring Ross because otherwise I'll feel like a bad person because you should have taken Mark. I mean, Mark is a no-brainer. You still win, but she takes Ross, and I think she thought she lost.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's the cat's out of the bag. But okay, let's start by congratulating Marissa Jarrett Winokur for winning the first season of Celebrity Big Brother. We have a video. We have. Let's see her. What happened when she won?
Has cast her vote. For Marissa. Keisha has cast her vote. Congratulations, Marissa. You're the winner of Celebrity.
She almost looks like upset.
I know.
Like she's sad.
Right.
Ross didn't win.
Here's one thing I'll tell you that was.
Look how cute she is.
So. I was in the row.
Yeah, so Matt, you were at the finale.
I was at the finale, and the coolest part is, and you kind of see it here, I was right in the same row with her family, and Zev was there, her son, who she talked about the whole time.
Who she says is the biggest Big Brother fan in the world.
He literally, we were talking about it, he is. He was crying, like, from the second she won the final HOH. He was just, like, so proud.
I cried right here when he came running up.
It was the best.
So here he comes up.
And she sees him. This is like, I was like, okay, it's done for me.
Yeah, I legitimately, like, teared up. I was like, oh, my God, that was bad.
So here's the great part. She goes, yeah, Zev, you get your
thing you wanted. He wanted the ninja wall, right?
He wanted a warped wall. So they're coming out to our taping. I met him. I'm like,
are you serious?
You're to our taping next week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Zev, it was so cute.
That is so cool. Well, I want to say, I think that there's a lot of, like, I wrote down a lot of stuff about, I do want to say that I think that Marissa was always in the conversation of winning. I didn't know, like, you know, we talked about it on this show. Yeah, we talked about it on this show, and both Derek and Nicole, when they were up, when they were on stage, like the third episode, said that she had a really good chance of winning. I think the biggest thing that she did, I won't go through all the points, but I think the biggest thing that she did for me was when she, I realized that she was a good player when she convinced all the girls to request the recast power at the beginning when she was like, we should do that. I mean, that was, to me, like, the most brilliant move in the first half of the show,
right,
in my opinion. And
feels like so long ago.
It does. But I guess my question would be, are people, like, we kind of said that she basically didn't play the game. Or, like, they a lot of people were saying that. So are people almost like Ross penalized for actually playing? Like, could playing the game actually cost you it?
That's what I wondered too, is like, because I feel like they all played a very specific game. Like, I even asked myself, okay, is Omarosa playing the villain from the beginning because she knows that people will save her for the end when she's like the obvious
but
target
she
to go
pivoted with the asthma?
Yeah,
I thought we saw a real pivot. No, but after that she realized, like, that she was proof of all you have to do is survive. Just survive. Survive because the target will switch. Power switches. Someone's going to get betrayed. And that asthma attack and then people having sympathy for her. And then she backed off. And she was awful at planting seeds, but it worked enough to keep her safer. Like she said, I should have been evicted five votes ago.
Yeah.
I would have evicted me 5 votes ago. Yeah. Exactly. That's great. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a... Because I think that in Big Brother, there's always going to be like... that personality that wants to win every competition, like the Shannons and the James. And then there's always going to be like the person who like really is playing the game smart. And then the person who really is playing the game smart, who attaches themselves to that person. Mm-hmm. So I think Marissa was thinking, okay, I'm not going to attach myself to James and Shannon because they're the obvious targets. I think I want to attach myself to Ross because she knew Shannon from before the show. Yeah. I remember like the first
episode.
But
they did say that we were working. Right, but...
But that conveniently changed, right?
I guess my problem is it's partially the edit because I didn't watch enough of the live feeds, but I didn't ever consciously see or hear, you know, again, like with Josh, where I felt Josh is, in my book, God bless him, I think the least deserving champ I've seen. No, in terms of like, I thought Paul played a phenomenal game.
Right.
Yeah. And he just blew the jury management.
Right.
You know, jury management. But I think where it's like, it's not like Josh did a great job. It's just Paul did such a bad job. Yeah. And I think this is a similar situation where, from what I saw, I was just underwhelmed by Marissa. I didn't see her aggressively planning it. I just saw Ross play a phenomenal game and her kind of being like, well, I guess I'll just stay loyal. But if it had been in the diary room, like, again, if you're in there going, this is what I'm thinking, you know, I'm really aligning myself with him and I'm seeing he's doing the dirty work, I'm going to let him keep the target. If I'd heard her say that, great, I can give you credit for it, but I just kind of felt like she was...
I wish so badly... Did you watch OTT?
Some
of it. Yeah. So on our season, we had live diary room sessions, and I wish so badly they would have done this, because then Marissa could have gone in and been like, here, like, you aren't seeing me do this, but I actually am doing X, Y, and Z, and I am playing. I think... I agree with you. I think she just got the edit of being like the goofy, lovable girl who falls on
the
wall.
Although that also, again, since we know that the jury... got to see the episodes in a way. It's like she couldn't. If she did do that, she would have maybe then not as done it.
That's what I was just going to say.
Well, and we've talked a lot about, I mean, like, jury
management. I would have loved on the talk if she would have been smoking, like, my plan was to throw. Here's a video from before the show where I say, stop everyone.
Here's my outline.
That would have convinced
like
me.
Like her book.
Yes.
No, I could tell you nothing.
I think that we've seen, like you mentioned, like Paul, I mean, who has arguably played the best games the two seasons that he was on and lost to someone because of jury management. And I guess...
Which, by the way, again, is a totally fair... Like, I get it. That's part of the game. And that's one of the things that again, when you're like, Shannon's the best ever. No, you're not. Because there's the social game. There's the jury management game.
But what is it about the jury? I mean, why are these people so bitter? Why are they voting so emotionally?
That's what I would love to know.
Because, I mean,
from the feeds.
Well...
Like, how bad Ross betrayed people, or you know, did they have enough genuine... But, like, you felt with Marissa, she really was, like, the sweet mom of the house.
Yeah.
And Ross...
And she knew it. She knew her brand from the beginning because she said, like, I remember her saying on the first day, the girls aren't intimidated by me because I'm just, like, little Marissa. The guys aren't intimidated by me because I'm just, like, little unathletic, you know, Broadway Marissa.
Yes.
So that's really going to work in my favor. And it exactly did.
Yeah. And just to piggyback on what you said, I watched that just today. And she also said that her strategy going in was to do that, but also just to listen and kind of just
absorb
everything. Right. Which, I mean... Regardless of how you feel, because I was also Team Ross. Like, I wanted Ross to win. I think he was the most deserving by far. But the fact that I watched that, I thought it kind of changed my opinion. Just like, oh, she at least stayed true to exactly what she said before she even went into the house.
Yeah.
I agree with all that. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
I was just going to say, the only thing I think I agree with all this, I was just disappointed in, like, her answers whenever jury asked her these questions. And it's not, she like almost didn't answer a single one of them directly.
Why should you win, Marissa? I'm just happy.
Ross.
That's why it's so brilliant, I think, is because she knew exactly, like, these people were about to vote on $250,000.
But see, I don't think that she was even thinking strategically at that point. Right. I think that was her just being like, I didn't even think I was going to get here. I still think Ross should win, but...
Yeah, like, it wasn't even... That was ridiculous.
I think it was kind of strategic, to be honest.
I would love to hear that.
I really want to give that credit because then it would be brilliant.
Yeah. I really do because
Marissa,
I think she knows more than half of the people on that jury are going to vote emotionally. More than half of the people felt like they've been stabbed in the back. She doesn't want to reveal too much or too little. She doesn't want to show these people like, hey, I played the game and I'm here and you're not. She doesn't want to do anything to remind them that she beat them.
Let's be honest, though. These two finales have been some of the best because they were so unexpected.
Yeah.
And what I love is it shakes up the BB world as a player where you're going, I have no idea what to do now. The idea of, you know, a traditional great game where people will get over it. Okay, you know, you really have to play and win. Mm-hmm. But now the idea of, you know, how
to be on
the jury management, this stuff of to control these people and connect with them where you're going to get their vote in the end. That this is such a level of a mind game now, which is why I love Big Brother. Is it's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Well, how do you think Ross mismanaged the jury?
I don't know because I did. What I'm thinking is when the 99% of the stuff you don't see is where for whatever reason Ross just didn't connect with them the same way Marissa did. Because again, from what we saw, I felt like he justified things enough. And even like to Brandy where he's like, girl, I love you, but there comes a time where you have to pivot. And I thought it was a great, sincere answer. And I felt like it won I don't remember how Brandy voted, but she voted Ross. And so I was like, he's saying all the right things for a traditional Big Brother, but so I don't know where he did it, but clearly there were some grudges in there. Yeah.
I think it was because he was too like pragmatic with it. He just like stated, this is why I deserve to win and this is why you should vote for me.
So he wasn't sincere.
He was not emotional enough. He was not remorseful.
And I wonder though, like again, they're celebs.
Right.
I wonder if they went back and actually watched the episodes like the way we do and watched the DRs. Because here was the other thing. I thought Ross was so good in the DRs.
He was hands down my favorite.
If you're one of the people who were getting the brunt end of some of his comments,
you probably get pissed off.
Yeah, you might get pissed where it's one of these things of, God, you know, this idea of, I'm sure they knew, but the idea that they're going to see this. They're going to see what you're saying about them, which is now, like Charles is saying, Marissa couldn't have revealed her strategy because it would have burned the strategy because then they would have known.
Mm-hmm.
So now I like it. She's a super genius.
Well, here's
and Marissa, it's much more fun to think of that.
Yeah, it is. Right?
Did you read all the comments about a lot of people are saying that the jury also was voting because they really wanted a female to win?
Yeah.
So do you think, say, it would have been Ross and Mark, would it have been different? Would Ross have won? Or you think they still would have been bitter and they still would have voted against Ross because he stabbed them all in the back and they went...
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
I really, truly think that because Omarosa was so team girl power. So... Mm-hmm.
So in a way, the women are the sexist problem here.
I'm not saying anything, but I was like starting to think about that, and I was like, wait, I think if it would have been Ross against a guy, I think he would have possibly won.
It's a good point because if you remember, I think it was, I don't know if it was last night's episode, but all the guys were saying how they were like, we shouldn't let a girl get to the end because there's more girls to vote for her. So that's why Ross wanted to take Mark in the end in the first place.
Wow, that is really interesting.
So I think you are onto something.
I'm onto something, guys.
It's weird too because
I mean, let's not tell your own arm.
I read it on Twitter actually.
Calm down. Oh, so you're
stealing ideas now?
It's a speculation that I am developing.
If you're that Twitter user who came up with that theory, we're sorry.
Where are they?
Well, I think it's like whenever you see like the image of Ross sitting next to Marissa. Like, I think everybody on the jury saw, like, strategy and plotting next to mom, sweet, emotional, loving, honest. Mm-hmm. And just seeing that contrast kind of, like, amplified it even more. So if, like, Ross were sitting next to Mark, they probably would... they probably would have been able to appreciate Ross's strategy a little bit more.
Oh, for sure.
Because they probably would have viewed Mark... Because
everyone just thought Mark was a
sitting
duck. Honestly, when we talked about laying low, I thought Mark did a phenomenal job.
I thought Mark was going to win.
I thought his social game was so good.
I predicted him to win from the very first episode.
He was incredible,
and he was
game.
So charming where he was just like, hey, it's Big Brother, you got to come after me. Where he was someone who everybody liked, but they all thought he was like this vacuous guy, and I actually wanted him to get more credit.
He won me over at the end.
Yeah.
He was so classy and like with the statements whenever he came out and told Julie, he was like, everything that is good about the world is in that house.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Warmed my
it was
heart.
Beautiful.
I will say, though, I was very, very upset that in that HOH he gave it to Ross. Because when you get far in Big Brother and you've... Okay, it's been 3 weeks, but...
You know what? I was confused because I didn't know... I was thinking that you would then not be eligible for that final HOH.
I was confused at that,
I guess I also saw the opportunity of blood. You know, that you think towards the end, Mark's like, I haven't had to really draw a ton of blood. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to beat him. Even if with this HOH, I think Ross still would have had more wins. And so I didn't think it was a horrible strategy, and also to curry favor with Ross, where it's like, this is, you know, I don't have to get blood on my hands and I'm safe. Not a bad. Not bad.
I just think, like, in mine, if, like, I would have, at the very end, just not, like, given away an HOH, that, like, hurts my heart.
But didn't you think that's what Marissa did? Like, she won the HOH and then took the person
out. Right, but then, and everything, yeah. So I guess I take that back, but I was still very surprised that he was just like, yes, here's the one of the last HOHs.
Ross already had blood on his hands. Like,
that's true.
Really, like, he couldn't make any more enemies at that point, so it was like, might as well give him the HOH.
And I thought, again, like he said, you know, he had the resume. He had the resume.
Yeah.
So I think he thought, you know, I mean, and I guarantee, you know, he plays the game 10 times. He's not going to change. Like, I know Ross. He is super competitive. And
that's what I was going to ask you. Able, since you were at the finale last night, were you able to talk to Marissa or Ross or get their take
briefly
on
to Ross? He looked shocked, and I was just like, I tweeted him today, DM'd him, you know, private. And I was just like, I just want to let you know, Ross. I know as competitive as you are, and as much of a Big Brother fan as you are, I know last night had to be a bit of a letdown, but I wanted to let you know. As a fan, I thought you played a phenomenal game, but more importantly, America got to see a man that they can all love and be proud of.
Yes.
And because I thought, like, his speeches, you know, about being the kid who he thought never fit
in. I connected so much to that speech.
I just thought it was so courageous and sweet, and I loved that America got to see that side of Ross because he's such a good guy.
Absolutely.
So I thought it was great.
You said about Brandy earlier is similar to him. It's really to a lot of them. I mean, Marissa,
I didn't think
Ross,
any of them came off that other than Meta World Peace. You're just like, he's nuts.
But even him, I was like...
You didn't think negatively about it.
Right, no, I was just like, you are crazy.
It was, and I think that was the fear. Like, for me, that was one of the fears of going on the show, though, is nobody had a career-ending moment. Nobody actually looked bad. I thought everyone...
Unless Omarosa goes missing in the next 6 months, then we'll have to really...
But even her, like, where... You again, just like Brandy, if you're doing any sort of reality show, you know Lady O still has it.
Yeah.
She delivers. Okay, except
she delivers.
Except I will say that when they were all, like, can you believe what a mess they were at the voting box?
They were like a bunch of fifth graders.
Yeah, poor Julie Chen. No, they were like, it was like Julie Chen trying to wrangle kindergartners for a
again,
class photo.
Because you know, like, that's one of the things that's different with a celebrity version is, like, they're not locked in sequester. They come back there. You know, the producers are telling them not to talk, but it's like, you're going to tell, like, world champion.
Okay,
Meta
but they've all been on a stage before. It's like, they acted like
Julie called out Omarosa.
She was like, Omarosa, stop trying to control the game. Still trying to control the
it's
game.
It's like, relax. I mean, can't you just, like, sit there, like, without any, like, no, like, without any distraction for 5 minutes?
No, like, we're live.
They
are. Honestly, so what was funny being live is it got so informal. I'm like, oh, we're on commercial break right now.
Because
there's no way Julie, the Chen Bob, would be talking like this. I love that. I thought Julie, that's the most personality we've seen on Chen in a long time.
I completely agree.
I loved it too.
And she was having such a blast. The Omarosa call.
You're not
everything,
the O.
Like,
she killed it.
She just acted like she was having such a blast. I feel she was. It was sort of like her contemporaries, you know. She was she felt a little bit more comfortable.
They, in the warm up, they were saying Bill, who does the crowd warm up.
Yes,
there
he's been on our show.
Love
he's
him.
Been on our show.
So they were talking about Brandy saying, you know, do you have
say
anything
something?
Bad to say? And so Bill goes, Julie, what would have happened if she said something bad about you? She goes, the bitch would have got cut. She goes,
I what love did
she
that.
Say? She goes, I can't remember who, like, Meta World Peace oh ain't the God. Only one from Queens around here. Oh, I was like, Jess!
Yes!
Julie!
Oh, it was awesome.
That's, savage.
I loved that's it. My and Julie. She just, it was
I wonder
great.
How, I wonder how she's Julie great. Would do on Celebrity Big Brother. If she, like, jumped in the house?
Who's going to beat her on, be like, Les
yeah.
Moonves?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I'm not voting Julie.
I think Julie's won.
No one's voting Julie out. But I will say that I think...
Power move.
I think she would be very strategic. It would be hard for... I think she would become like... I think
she'd be a natural target.
She would be a natural target, yeah, but I think exactly. she would go and be very strategic, but she would see like she'd get a... I think she would get like she'd have a heart. You'd be like, oh my god. She'd like be like, oh, I don't want you to leave. You know?
Sometimes when you're oblivious, it's easier. I think that would be hard to not be paranoid.
Yes.
To just be paranoid all the time.
Yeah.
Like Ross. Ross was one who I felt almost suffered from knowing the game so well and this idea of, okay, I got all these balls. I'm juggling
exactly.
the air. Yeah. And to have to keep them all straight, I think is really stressful.
Yeah.
And he was dealing with so much too. Right. I mean, like with all of his alliances. But I do want to ask you guys, so now that they're out of the house, it seems like there's still like some animosity, obviously, between Shannon and Ross. And I wonder what you guys think about that, because he even said in one of his backyard interviews that I watched today, he said that Shannon, he feels the most slighted by Shannon. Because he doesn't. Let's see. What did I say? For voting against him, I just am like, why do you think Shannon, a true superfan, voted him mostly number one?
Right.
But I feel like that's a little unfair for him to call her out, because it wasn't like, it's not like a Paul Nicole situation where it was like one vote between them. It was like five other people voted for him over Marissa, but he slighted by her. So I didn't know if you got. I wonder.
Well, I guess that's what he's saying though, that she's the super fan, and it's like if you really are a fan, game recognized game.
You should know.
And I think Shannon, you know, again, she played an awful game.
Yeah,
she, you know,
she was too hard, too fast.
She was way too hard, too fast.
And
you
she
know,
knows
lay
that.
Back, lay, let the game come to you. And don't I also, do it till you have to.
And I think like it honestly has a lot to do with the fact that Ross was sitting next to Marissa. Like Marissa was the image of just loving social game kindness in that game.
I feel like Charles has got that's two good insights he's had tonight. Right? Yeah. Killing it.
I know I'm like 2 for 8. Okay. But I think like whenever like you picture
laughing you
like it was like the most like loving person in the house next to somebody who played the game so well. And all people saw was how that guy slighted them.
And then there was the meatball, who I still just can't believe won. After pots and pans.
Oh, my God.
Why?
I know, he had a target on his back from day one.
Do we remember when he took that golden apple? We were all like,
this guy is gone. We were like, that's
gone.
We were like, he's done. And then he wins.
That is coming from 50 points. That was one of the most improbable wins. And again, I remember
whenever... because we were at like a party together, you and I, a lot like back in August, whenever Big Brother 19, Small World. Yeah, we talked about the season, and I remember making a joke like, "What if Josh wins? Can you imagine if Josh wins?" And legit, everybody in the circle, because we all knew Big Brother, like laughed. Like that would be ridiculous.
Well, me and my sister had My sister picked him to win from day one. And to this day, we're like...
Your sister has good insight. She really knows. She usually knows.
Weird.
She's amazing.
But it's fine. I won my season. Not her.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure that's really nice to bring up at family dinner, by the way.
Oh, it happens every Thanksgiving. Anytime Alex makes me mad, I'm like, do you remember?
Remember the day that I won?
She did pick him from the very start to win. So she saw something in him.
He was likable. I just thought, again, he came out like Paul the year before, playing so hard and just being immature and wearing his emotions on his sleeves.
Just wore his emotions way too much.
I thought he was just he was exhausting. Like I was so amazed Cody didn't punch him.
Well, that's
with the pots and pans.
That's actually why I think he lasted so long, is because I feel like people kept Josh around because
the meatball's gonna go
for the same reason people kept Omarosa around.
Right.
Is like, I know this guy's gonna be an easy vote at the house, like eventually down the line, like. I don't want to waste him right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wait till it's like final six, and then he's going to be the obvious target.
Yeah.
And then so many things changed whenever it got to that point.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Omarosa was, like Paul, was playing as well.
Paul bringing Josh, it was like, you know, Ross with Marissa, where it's like, I think the whole game, he's like, she's perfect because I'll beat her in the end.
Yeah, if Ross would have brought like Omarosa and then everybody was still slighted about Ross, it would have been the exact like carbon copy of Celebrity.
That would have been way out of
the field.
I literally would have rioted.
I would have sued.
I will say that Omarosa made the biggest move of the season by getting James out in the double eviction. That was the biggest move of the season. And then
the biggest move of the season was Shannon spelling responsibilities.
No, that was the worst move.
The biggest worst move.
It was really bad.
With Omarosa, okay, I think it was a big move to get rid of James, but I also think, I mean, it doesn't matter because she got voted out, but in theory, I thought she should have got rid of Ari.
Yeah,
because Ari would have got to the end and would have got the same situation. All the female votes, she was good with all the females, whereas James had no brandy. He had pissed off all the females. So I disagree with that.
You're right. I think it was one of those things where she could have partnered with him.
Yeah.
And had someone. Because you knew she was on the outside.
He never would have done that. He's not smart enough.
She had the best chance against him.
He might have done that. Yeah. Well, but, I mean, then she got voted out, so it doesn't matter.
I did love her reaction whenever Ross put her up for eviction. Yeah. What was it? It was like...
It was dinosaur.
All of her reactions.
She knows where every camera in that house is.
She knew her lighting. She knew everything. It was amazing.
What she was doing.
Loved it.
But again, she did, and she dropped enough hints about her book.
Right.
Like she was.
Oh, I'm fully reading that.
And then
book.
It was too much at the end when she gave the stump speech. America is better together.
Well, I know. What was that crazy religious zealot? Like,
she was on the pulpit.
That was too much.
But so you were on The Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
That was executive produced by Donald Trump. Did you ever? Did you ever meet him?
No. Because we shot it in February of 2016. So he was one of 16 running for the primary at that point.
Oh, okay.
No one knew he was going to win. And we were supposed to air in September, but then the election was getting contentious. But I think NBC figures he's probably going to lose. He'll go away. Instead, he wins, chooses to keep his name on as executive producer. And then, like, we're airing during the inauguration. And obviously, he's taking shots. And so, it's unfortunate because anyone who didn't like Trump wouldn't watch the show.
Yeah.
But people who love Trump wouldn't watch the show because he wasn't hosting. So it was like there was no one. It sucked at a show that's this goofy show that actually, you know, we were competing for charity. So I didn't get no $250,000.
Exactly.
It sucks that a show that really is, again, you're doing tasks, you're theoretically being productive, but you are doing it for charity. It sucked that it got polarized so no one watched it.
What did you think about all this political stuff? Do you think the White House actually really cared about, do you think that they care that the show's over now, or did...
No, it would be dumb because he was an executive producer, so he was still getting paid.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, like, I thought it was interesting what Omarosa said, but I took it very much with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
because she's selling a book, and so you just feel like it was so these bites. If I ever told my story, you wouldn't believe I have to say.
She's a walking soundbite.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. I mean, I read an article on CNN that was posted today about all the things that she said on Celebrity Big Brother, and you're like, this is mainstream.
But that
news.
Was
this
such a huge get for the show. That's why it was
huge.
11.
Yeah.
You know, it was uneven because they got Omarosa at the last minute. Yeah. And what great casting. They got those sound bites. They got to run the commercial where, how bad is it? It's worse than you think.
Like, that was so dramatic.
And those
old 80s
casting.
Yeah, and they led with that, like promoting the episodes. Yeah. They said, Omarosa spills more about her time in the White House. And it was like, oh my God.
And she was smart, like Celebrity Big Brother smart, to promote it and to get as much. Like, you know, you could be cynical, but it's like, it's a bottom line game, and they know that it's about ratings. And I thought everyone was scratching everyone's back there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And look, it made for great. She was great.
She was great.
She was great on the show. She's incredible. She's polar. I mean,
incredible.
You know, yeah.
Love to hate reality TV. Yeah.
I think everybody who was like the best for the show lasted the longest.
Yeah.
Like everybody, Ross, Marissa, Omarosa.
James,
Brandy, James,
Ari
was
like,
great.
They were all, like,
you know what?
I
was amazed they got rid of Chuck over James in the first one. I thought that was the same. To me, that was like Christmas and Cameron, where you're like, you get rid of Christmas. She's a beast. What are you doing?
Little did they know, Chuck, she broke her own leg in the bed. She's like, trying to get rid of me.
Chuck was the one guy who was a little quiet, I thought. So when he went, you know, you're right. As a fan, you're like, shame, but we're keeping the entertaining people.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's any chance that Omarosa could have won this game? If she had made a different move?
Yeah, I do. I do,
How?
Really. Because I think that, like, she has the ability to really control like the rhetoric surrounding her. Like she really can connect with people if she wants to. She has a great story. She has like a religious background. She came from, didn't she come from the projects?
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
she
yeah,
talked that's what about.
She
was saying.
Yeah. She has a really great backstory. And I think if she could have harnessed that, like, and then in addition to harnessing that, like put herself up against the right person, like a James, she could have won.
Yeah. Or Mark.
Yeah, I was going to say, if she went up against Mark, I could
again,
see
again, yeah, like you said, A, the female angle, yeah. and also I think...
They would have seen strategy.
What about, speech, what if it was Omarosa and Marissa?
Oh, she would have lost.
You yeah. think they would have, these things still would have beat Marissa?
Yeah.
But can you imagine that, her bomb speech she would give, like...
I don't know.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, though, is I think, and again, which you touched on, was one of the problems was Ross felt a little prepared... Mm-hmm. So it felt a little inauthentic. And yeah. Marissa spoke from the heart. And I think people really, you know, that was one thing I think Ross might have done a little better. Where I'm like, he had to have his speech prepared, but make it more emotional. Because he had so much emotion before. Yeah. And I think that was a missed opportunity. It was like last year when you saw Josh out-talk Paul. And like, what is going on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where Josh just gave this heartfelt thing and...
That's
well, that's what happened yeah. to Paul twice, by yeah. the way. I mean, the same thing happened because Nicole's yeah. speech was all over the place. And then, but it was very authentic. And then his was like, I did this, I did this, I did this. Right. And he did it 2 years in a row. Yeah. And same with Josh.
They vote emotionally.
Even my season, my speech was a hot mess. And Jason's was very calculated, but
that's no one I thought yours was good.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't watch.
I did. Oh. I watched it after okay. I met you.
Yeah. I flattered things.
Okay, I didn't watch it.
So Ross, still online. Ross and Marissa both said that they would never play Big Brother again. And I know people like you always say that if you were asked in back in the house, you would do it again.
But
why do you think they would?
I will say my first like 2 weeks out of the house, I was like, never again. I will not go back there. I cannot do it again. It was the most stressful thing. I bet give them a couple months and I guarantee you
they do it again.
They will change their
well,
minds.
Well, it also depends on well, like, what they're doing with their career. Right.
I was now fresh out of college.
Well,
so
I mean, I only bring that up because on the contrary, they're already talking about Shannon potentially going into Big Brother 20. So huh. I'm wondering, would she have a huge target on her back going into that house?
You'd have to do like a little Paul situation.
That's what I was thinking. Yep. Or would it be like that? Would she have a huge target or would it be like a Paul thing where like they're enamored? Like,
you,
oh my God.
Or like, or we, you know, we give you, we're going to figure out a way to kind of get you a little immunity yeah. or something for
But I mean, but Paul had everyone in love with him yeah. too. So like
And they feared him.
Yes. Where they she could him. Potentially maybe, I don't know. I'm just, that's a question. That,
interesting. I think she would have a massive target. I think any of that does.
It's one of those things too, like all she did was win comps, which again is a great skill to have, but
it was not the game
and I thought as a super fan I was really disappointed to see her not, you know, when she's like, well, a woman had to win, I'm like, yeah, but you won both.
Maybe she was too confident in that woman alliance maybe at the beginning. But like with Paul going in like for season 19, what he did so well was to get everybody on his side. Yeah. And I think maybe that's what hurt him in the end, is because people felt so slighted by this person who they truly, honestly thought they had friendship with. It was like team friendship. Mm. How could you turn on me when we had such a deep connection?
Yeah.
And like maybe what Marissa did right was, yeah, she connected with everybody, but when it came down to it, she didn't connect with them so much that it felt like she was stabbing them in the back when they walked out.
But again, how many people did she have to evict?
None.
Yeah.
But she did. None. I mean,
two at the end. And that was the thing. And even in doing so,
they were like fine with it.
They felt like she got credit for taking Ross.
Yeah.
For being true to the guy.
For the dumbest move that she could have done.
When everyone else is screaming at the TV, everyone was like, oh, good job.
I mean, everybody said that afterwards. They were like, this was a $250,000 mistake that she brought Ross. And then look what happens. I mean, I was shocked. I actually stopped watching at like, you know, about like 6:15 or something. There was 45 minutes left and I was like, came back to it, I looked on Twitter, I was like, there's no, I'm absolutely going to see that Roz is going to win. And then it's like, Marissa's won. I was like, are you serious? What happened?
I was
like,
shocked.
What in the hell happened?
Well, you know, whenever Meta, do you think that
Do we think that was actually, like, did he randomly draw it?
He said he did. They asked in the commercial break, he goes, yeah.
Okay, wait, I have another question about finale. Because Omarosa, I heard from people that Omarosa was actually campaigning against Ross while they were sitting
there. Obviously
she was talking, but I couldn't hear it. We couldn't hear it, but she just kept talking. She was talking, yeah.
Okay.
That's why Julie stopped her, is because Julie probably heard she was campaigning for Marissa. Like,
that woman is sneaky.
She loves to just sneaky, like,
but she's so bossy. And what was amazing is you could just see the authority she has, and people would cave. Are you in an alliance? Yes, I am.
Come on! Say no!
Yes, I am.
No, you could just. Wait, and like the way she did it with Shannon. Who, like, I think it was either Marissa or, like, you're in a final two. Who you were in a final two with? And people just tell her stuff.
Oh, my God. What about the thing when she did with James? Like, when she was like, hey, you know, just so you know, they might be coming after you. And then
in
he
the kitchen.
Went right
there. Yeah.
And she was like, what? I didn't say that.
But then she, like, kind of got out of it. I was like, well,
and at the beginning, too, with Chuck. Like, when Brandy called her out, going, you were talking to Chuck. What are you talking about? And she did have lines. She's like, how dare you question my integrity?
Well,
and she was right. Yes. Like, everything she was bitching about, they were right. And so that's one of the things. But then, you know, again, it's such a different game. It's such a different game, which I hadn't even thought of from the jury point of view, when you know they're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not going to be you reveal it at the end. They're going to see your comments and see the strategy and see that you lied and be like, okay, like, you really have to prepare for them to say, but they don't know the edit, so they don't know what they've seen. In fact, it's a really different head game.
Well, and that's what Omarosa did so well, is she would literally control the conversation. If she saw it going one way, she would snatch it up, and it didn't really even matter where she took it. She would just take it anywhere, and people would be so blindsided and be like, okay, I guess we're going over there. And they would, like, try to address what she was saying, that they would completely forget about the topic they brought up in the first place.
That's really smart.
She is an evil genius.
Yeah, she really is. She knows. Well, I mean, she knows what she's doing in so many different aspects. Like, it's like from a political standpoint, from the Big Brother standpoint, she was a huge super fan. But I wonder if that. I mean, so obviously, like you said, she got evicted, so it doesn't really matter. But had she gone to the end and all these people had seen that stuff, I wonder how that would have affected their vote.
Right.
If she had gone to the end. But again, that's really neither here nor there.
Right.
Well, we'll never know.
I guess
we'll never know. If her book fails, maybe she'll go back.
So, we talked a little bit about James and Brandy being at each other's throats all season.
Loved it.
The sexual tension.
But what was funny is I saw them on the. They were all, like, all five. So it was James, Brandy, Omarosa, Ross, Marissa, Mark, Ari were all on the talk today.
Right.
And it was really good. It was a really good segment. But they were like hugging and kissing each other.
He said that last night. He goes, but in real life, nothing but love.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I don't know if they made up after.
I was going to ask you, like, because I mean, how long does it take to, like, get, I mean, you know, how are you with your ex housemates, and how long do you think it gets over? And it's because they're celebrities.
Well, she wants, so she loves everybody.
I got out of the house being very much, I'm gonna follow everyone and be everyone's friend. I will say there are a couple that I'm still not that close with, but our season was a lot. Our season was a lot nastier. Like, there was two sides that blatantly hated each other, and it wasn't. I feel like this Celebrity Big Brother was a little more tame.
Yeah.
But I mean, I will say, like, look at me and Jason. I went against Jason. I won. So, but, like, we were hanging out this past weekend.
You did. Right.
So, I don't know. I feel like they will, everyone gets over it. Oh, look, they're guessing correctly.
Okay, so you can go to the Facebook, or you can go to the tweet. What do you guys, in the chat
That's
room,
hilarious.
What do you guys, what do you guys feel about the outcome of the season? Are you happy that Marissa won? Do you wish Ross would have won? I think I know the answer to that, but I'm just trying to see what you guys would say.
But again, here's what I say. Nobody deserves to win Big Brother.
I agree with you.
You earn it. Yep. And so that's one of those things where I was like, and I think Ross would, you know, it's bitter, but it's that thing of, okay, I can't blame the game. I did something wrong because you should have known. It's so, that's the beauty of it, how unpredictable it is.
Yeah.
How many things you have to think of.
And I think we've talked about this before, but I think with you especially, is like that if you won Big Brother, you did something right. Regardless of how you play the game, you play, you know, if you won, you did something right, you played the right moves and the hands.
Whether you
were
aware of it or not. Right. Meatball.
Meatball.
Even the live feeders, I was talking to somebody who I think either worked in production, but basically they were saying live feeders still don't see everything because they pick and choose what cameras live feeders get to see.
Totally.
So no matter if you think that you've watched 24/7, you still haven't seen everything. Right. So whoever won, they did something.
And whatever here's the other thing that you can attest to. You don't always know, like, the tone, the emotion. You know, that sometimes that just doesn't come through the mm-hmm. TV. Mm-hmm. And what you're feeling or what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And, like, you're tired or you're hungry. I mean, it really is different when you're competing.
Or you're selling a book.
It's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Yes. Yeah, or, but that, you know, but that's, trying to get a job.
And again, the real win on a Celebrity Big Brother, we won't know for a year or two.
I think right? it's Omarosa, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I think it's Omarosa. I think she, like, burst back onto the scene.
Yeah.
And she really,
she did,
like,
make a name.
She said, like, this is who I am, and this is my brand, and this is what I have to tell. This is, like, the story I have. And I think that she's, like, one of the bigger winners of the
right.
season.
Yeah. Right.
Do you think that they do you think that the White House was paying attention to her? I mean, do you think that there was really, that they even gave a crap, or, like, I mean,
I'm sure they had to be a little nervous. Yeah. Like, you just don't know what probably would come out of her mouth. Like, and obviously, anything she said was making CNN and national headlines. Right. So they had to be a little nervous because she could have made up something blatantly, you know, like,
yeah.
and
yeah.
said whatever.
And no one would have been able to really.
And you can't really say anything. So.
Or
yeah.
you could never really prove it mm-hmm. factual without really diving into maybe a national security secret.
Right. Right.
So I don't, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely was one of the moments of the season when she, like, leaned into Ross and was like, it's bad.
I was like, we're all dying!
Yeah. I was like, this is amazing!
Okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Matt,
yeah.
So, you were approached to be in the Big Brother house, or whatever. But if you were in this house with all these people, what would you have been, like, you don't have to give your strategy away because you may go in the house.
No, here was the thing, like, with The Apprentice, I had no strategy. And with Big Brother, I think the only thing I've noticed is, you know, again, let the game come to you, which I think the biggest mistake is, and it's so easy to say from outside. I'm sure when you get in there, though, you know, you see people talking like, if I don't get an alliance, I'll be the first one out. And so you just see, though, you see people play hard. My thing would be to just try to lay back. But with this group of people, again, one of the reasons I don't do Big Brother and one of the reasons I love it is I just don't think I can control my emotions that well. Like, I'm so surprised. No, because I remember, like, sitting at home watching Amanda in, what was that, 16, I think?
15.
Was she 15? Yeah. With McCray. And just there were times I was like, oh, these, ah, yeah. God, I would punch her. and that's why I love watching it. I love watching it because it evokes such discomfort, and yeah. I'm so glad that I don't have to live it.
And not only that, it's a pressure cooker in there.
Oh,
I mean, you have
to. I really think you could do.
I really do too. I don't know what you're thinking.
I'd be terrible.
But what about, what is the difference? What is the real difference between this and The Apprentice? I mean, obviously.
So first of all, you know, one of the things was we had tasks, so you were forced to work as a team for a greater good. So for me, like, I always knew my thing is I'll be the best teammate possible because I'll never have to, you know, really stab you in the back. If we lose, I can usually, you know, say I who would have done better. There was much easier defenses for me in terms of really not feeling the head-to-head pressure of Big Brother, where it's there can be only one, where your alliances, you know, we kind of had teams that were determined by Schwarzenegger, so you'd kind of get shaken up a little bit. So you, even if you had a, you know, it's not like you're having a two-person alliance. There was no talk of it like Big Brother. And the 24/7 element. So we would get to go home. It was 7 a.m. till about 9 p.m., but then we're at the hotel and you're alone. Mm. And or you're with your girlfriend.
So you're not,
and we had Sundays off.
Oh.
And so it's, to me, that was huge. Like, I would come home and be like, ah! You know, yeah. I would yell into my pillow. My girlfriend would give me a massage. And it was just like, thank God. Because that's the thing.
That.
There's no escape
yeah.
on Big Brother. And I don't think, unless you've lived it, like, people can understand what that will do to you or how paranoid it would make you, mm-hmm. but I know it would drive me nuts.
Yeah. And I think, like, it's important to think also, you can think that you have the perfect Big Brother strategy, like, going into the game, but I think really about Big Brother is navigating all the different personalities.
Yeah, it's going to change.
It changes the minute you walk through the door.
Yeah. Does it change constantly? Like, did you have the same strategy going in all the time, or?
Mine changed like halfway through, but like if you would have heard my strategy going in, you would have been like, this idiot, and you would have been like, what game were you playing? I was like, I'm gonna align with every guy. I'm not working with any girls. I'm gonna have all the boys eating on the palm of my hands. I don't get along with females. Like, I'm gonna win all these comps. And then I got in there and I was like, these are the people I have to work with. This is the cards I've been dealt. I cannot do that strategy. Yeah. And I'm going to have to work with all females. And I have a sister here now. So it depends on completely who you're with.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that relieves some of the pressure. You never know till you get in there.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I mean, but that's on. What I think, though.
That would relieve the pressure.
That's when we talk about strategy. Like, you can have a strategy. I mean, you can know theories or whatever, but it's going to be so different based on who's there, who you align with, how the comps go. And again, your plan can be shifted by it. All of a sudden, they win the veto. And that's oh, God, now who do we put
all in shambles.
Well, what about you, Charles? What would, like, who do you think play, what game would you have sort of emulated, at least within the celebrities?
I think I probably would have emulated Mark. Because I think,
that's a great strategy.
Well, I think that if you see, like, somebody like me, like, I look kind of athletic. Like, I could be a factor in some of the HOH competitions. I would kind of play, like, the bumbling fool, like, ooh, I'm not really, I'm kind of, like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And play the Mark aspect, like, lay low at the beginning. And justify everybody's decision, like, hey, it's Big Brother, like, exactly what you were saying earlier. So I think I would do that.
Smart. Yeah,
and good. Hey, who'll do the dishes and the laundry?
I know.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Such a good line.
Yeah.
I was like,
so good.
You're so likable, Mark.
And he kept saying that too. Yeah. All right, you guys, we have a very, very special edition of Chen Chatter tonight because we actually have an exclusive from Julie Chen. We asked her a question. We asked Julie.
Chen Chat.
We said, you seem to be having a blast hosting this season. Looking back, what made Celebrity Big Brother so exciting to you? And she told us, Omarosa and Ross made it exciting for me. She's just fascinating to watch. She's an operator, but it could only get her so far. And Ross is awesome, hilarious, funniest diary room sessions in a long time. He's clever and witty and self-deprecating. I adore him. He's also an incredible gamer. So I ask you guys, what was the most exciting part for Celebrity Big Brother of Celebrity Big Brother for you?
Someone go first. I gotta think.
Ross.
She nailed it.
Yeah.
She nailed it. Omarosa was the perfect get, like, to add the political intrigue and to have this perfect villain. I thought Brandy was phenomenal, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as a train wreck. But like we said, Ross's DR sessions were amazing. Yeah. He was so good in there. And as a player, as a fan, to get someone in there who's playing at a high level was really cool, too.
I loved that. I loved that Ross came in, and I feel like his image before he came into Big Brother was, like, so light and airy and happy, and he came in and somehow was able to keep that image and still play a great game.
Yeah.
It was perfect to watch. I loved it.
Yeah. You know what I think I love? This is not, like, a one moment, but I love the fact that, one, it's celebrities and that they... I looked at Brandy and Ari, and I was like, they're not going to do a thing. They're going to go in there, and they're not going to game. And I was so impressed by every single one of these people, and I thought it was so refreshing that it wasn't a bunch of 20-something-year-olds.
Right.
And it was older people.
You saw the maturity and life experience.
You saw the maturity, and they were playing the game.
We have something to offer.
And it was nice because it was celebrities. They've had their time to shine, so it's not like what we've been getting where everyone wants to be an Instagram influencer and have a showmance because they know it's going to get them more fame. So I was like, this is so refreshing to watch.
Yeah. So, it was a great
good
season.
Job, CBS.
And I was also impressed with, like, Ari, because I did not think Ari was going to make many moves in the game.
Nice.
She saw waves. She saw the spider web.
Yeah. The second half of the season, I was like, okay, Ari, like, really calling it out as she saw it, and it was like she was right, like 100%.
And so likable.
Yeah.
And the way she owned the thing, like, I thank Steve Harvey. He made my, like, he gave me a lot. Like, someone's not like,
she's
he was embarrassed. She was like, but she was, maybe, but it felt sincere.
You know, she's only like 23 years old.
What?
And she was
she's 24. She's your age.
She was born on Christmas Day, too. Didn't know that.
She December is not 25th. My age.
The funniest thing that, the funniest line of All Big Brother was when Ross was in that, was in the dark. Like the dark eye, he says, and he goes, oh my God, I feel like Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs. That was the funniest thing. I was like crying laughing. That was hysterical.
He gets it. He gets being great TV.
No, but we thank Julie. Thank you for giving us some insight.
Julie.
We love you, Julie. Okay, but before we go, so Matt, you were just a special correspondent for the Winter Olympics on Megyn Kelly Today. You had some pretty crazy patriotic outfits. I think we have a couple pictures of that.
Megan loved it.
Look,
that's
at
the
that.
Johnny. So I'm buddies with Johnny Mosley. I skied in. That's a one piece ski suit, and it's my buddy Johnny Mosley. He has a signature suit. and he was a gold medalist, and so I was wearing it, and I'm like, I told him, I'm like, I'm gonna wear your suit on the Today Show. He's like, what? And I like, they had roller skis, so I skied on in the outfit.
Oh, is that like, became, what's over it? Is that just a jacket or is that the ski?
No, that's a one piece suit. I was just, that's my Ninja Warrior t-shirt that I had on underneath.
That's ridiculous. What's you're the, always shameless show the other one too, because it was, that looks like, you look like Uncle Sam in the other one.
Oh, yeah. That was the first day. I'm wearing gold Cole Haan shoes.
Why am I getting KFC from that?
It's finger licking good, Charles.
Some chicken.
No, but that had to be such a cool. That had to be such a cool job. Was there a particular sport? I mean, hopefully not. It wasn't cross country skiing, but I mean, was there?
Honestly, the women's cross country team seeing. Was it Jessica Randall or Jessica Dugan and Keegan Randall win it? And it was like this most dramatic finish, and seeing them like embrace. I honestly, I'll watch anything where people are competing for their country and where they're doing something where they've spent their whole lifetime for it. And for 90% of these people, 99% of them, there's nothing beyond this.
Yeah,
like this is your glory. And you're not going to get Insta fame. Most of them just. This is it. You're doing it. And I just love that purity of it. It's like Ninja. It's like these people, for some of these people to have a moment that, like, that's that, this will be the moment of their life, like the highlight, that one unexpected moment where they win or something. And I just love seeing that. I mean, Miracle on Ice was one of my first memories, like, really, of a sporting event.
And you did that. That was awesome. And so I wore a onesie too,
the Miracle. And like, you just watch it. Like, that's why we love sports. That's why we, or Big Brother, some of these things. When you see a great moment, or see something happen where you're like, wow, I'll never forget, like, watching that, or like Dan Giesling's funeral, like, a reality moment. Like, that's, and I felt like the Olympics, I just love watching those moments. And like the U.S. won gold in curling for the first time ever.
I know, that was crazy.
It was great.
But so, speaking of American Ninja Warrior, your next season is gearing up to start.
We're gearing up with season 10. We've got the spinoff show premieres this Thursday, March 1st.
Right.
American Ninja Warrior, Ninja vs. Ninja on USA. That's we start awesome. Filming next week at Universal for season 10, and bigger than ever. And I will say, I don't know if this maybe is a spoiler.
Well, let's say it then.
Spoiler alert. So, you could probably figure this out. There's a blockbuster movie coming out this summer that happens to be NBC Universal. And I know that may sound like a dinosaur of a company, but we're going to theme our course based on that movie.
Oh, nice.
Our premiere episode.
Very cool.
And some of the stars of the movie may say something at the
beginning. I know that the American Ninja Warrior after show at AfterBuzz is like, they're really...
We gotta have them come out. We gotta have them come out.
Yeah, you should.
We do. We're also doing Red Nose Day, and we're doing the celebs. And so that layer May 24th, I think, on Red Nose Day, which is the charity that's raised over $1 billion for kids' charities. And last year we got to do it with Hardwick and Bear Grylls out in New York. And this year I think it's going to be Hardwick and Jane Lynch. And we did a Super Bowl spot for Ninja Warrior, or like all of NBC.
We did the Let's Go Crazy.
We were in it for like 2 seconds, but we shot for 4 hours with Spike Lee as our director, and Jane Lynch and Chris Hardwick. And they're just like, just be funny dancing.
You're kidding.
I'm sitting there with Jane Lynch, who was one of the funniest people on the planet. And it was, and Spike Lee's directed us. And like at one point, surreal. I did a kung fu kick. He's like, "Aspen, give me more of that." Like, okay, Spike, I gotcha.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Spike Lee, I'll do whatever. We're singing in a booth, like Akbar and I are singing with Spike. Like I got a selfie of me with Spike Lee over our shoulders. It was, and he again, like so nice. And Jane Lynch is just my favorite person, the nicest.
God, love her.
So funny. So funny.
We're so excited to watch the next season.
But yes.
Well, guys, that's it for us.
Our
season is over. Yeah. But we really want to thank you guys so much for watching and tweeting along with us. And we wouldn't have a show without you. Let's get really sentimental.
Right.
It was a fast and wild season, but we're so grateful for AfterBuzz for letting us cover this awesome experience. We had some, like, very weird requests. We were like... we need to do this 8 times in 2 weeks.
Like, all right, we got 2 weeks. We need eight
really
shows.
Thank you, CBS.
Yeah, we were really.
I'd do it. I'd sleep here.
No, I know.
That's
basically
couch.
What we did.
But
we want to especially thank you, Matt. Yeah, it's been so much for coming over. We love when you come. You have such great insights, so we love to hear you. We also want to thank Charles for coming.
You're welcome.
And very last but not least, thank you to my ride or die, Morgan Ouellette, for booking all the guests.
Whose birthday's coming up?
And her birthday. Her birthday's coming up.
It's in May.
It's coming up.
Mark your calendars, people.
Guys, it's a big time.
You produce all of our. You help produce, and you get all of our guests. You got all of our guests. They were amazing. Right.
It's what I do best.
Yeah, if I was awful, she's to blame.
Exactly.
She tells us how much we love you.
That's what I'm doing.
All right, you guys, that's it for us. I'm Bryce McClay. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Advice.
And I'm Morgan Ouellette. You can find me on Twitter at Morgan_Ouellette. I'm going to change it to actually saying underscore, but right now it's just an underscore.
And I'm Charles Connolly. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, I guess, at Charles Connolly. That's spelled C-O-N-O-L. Why? But you're not going to search it anyway. It's okay.
No, they are.
Be optimistic.
They better. And Matt Eisman, at Matt Eisman on anything. MattEisman.
Yes.
Yes.
From outside the Big Brother house, we will see you for Big Brother 20.
Or Big Brother Canada.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Getting fancy.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.